The Patty Duke Show premiered on TV in September of 1963, in which the actress played the dual role of twin-like identical cousins. At the same time, Elvis Presley was working on Kissin' Cousins, a movie with a similar plot twist. In order to keep a lid on expenses, Colonel Tom Parker ordered the soundtrack work to be recorded in Nashville this time instead of Hollywood. The title track to the film would be Presley's next single, making it to number 12 in early 64, as Elvis waded ankle-deep into the rising tide of what would be known as the British Invasion. In regards to music, as 1963 waned, a song from an earlier 60s musical, West Side Story, pretty well set the scene. Something's coming.
There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it's yours.
To those who were in that period of limbo, the something in question wasn't clearly defined. It was the cultural equivalent of the stored electrical tension on a capacitor waiting to be discharged. And like that capacitor, when the discharge finally came, along with it would be a big spark. Before the opening salvo of the new musical revolution was fired with the appearance of the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, there were already a number of local Memphis bands and smaller labels trying to achieve immortality in plastic. You'll find a fascinating account of all these musicians and more in Ron Hall's A History of Garage and Frat Bands in Memphis. Here's just a sampling from a stack of pre-Beatles-era Memphis 45s.
Something happened in school today.
Years before Michael Jackson or Donny Osmond, Sun Records was producing Tony Rossini's teenage love tunes. Tony was a 13-year-old student at Colonial Junior High when songwriter Dan Padgett had him record some song demos. Scotty Moore got hold of them, and Rossini wound up on 5 Sun singles before he was scarcely old enough to drive. Kemmons Wilson was renowned for his business insight, and on the heels of his success founding Holiday Inns, was known to plunge fearlessly into entrepreneurial endeavors. In 1961, one of his executives, D. Wayne Foster, checked in with the home office on a trip to Monroe, Louisiana, and told him about a band he found. Wilson saw an untapped opportunity, and Holiday Inn Records was born. They rushed that band, the Roller Coasters, to Nashville, where they recorded the first of 6 singles for the label, Rimshot Parts 1 and 2. It didn't chart, but got airplay, sometimes in trade for free hotel stays for DJs. Payola, of course, was illegal, but this would have been maybe Stayola? The LeSabres started out in 1960 as Johnny and the Rawhiders at Kingsbury High. Johnny Jackson sang lead, Laddie Hutcherson on guitar. They recorded 3 singles, including Rising Mercury Twist. Laddie would take it to the next level with his next band, the Guillotines.
But one thing you must realize.
Coming out of Central High, one of the hottest bands was Flash and the Casuals. Frontman David Fleischman was a naturally flamboyant performer, and the band had a sizable following as house band at the Thunderbird Lounge.
She wears my golden steady ring.
Tommy J and the Escorts spent a good part of the 60s rocking West Memphis. Going Steady Ring was their first single in 1963. At the Rock House by Freddie Caddell and the Twirls holds the distinction of being the first record produced in the garage studio of John Fry. John partnered with MUS classmates John King and Fred Smith, yes, that Fred Smith, turning their fascination with electronics into what would become world-famous Ardent Studios. And no chronicle of that time would be complete without tossing in perhaps the most successful local band of the era, Tommy Burke and the Counts. They recorded their signature single, Stormy Weather, at another venue which would soon be making its mark on Memphis music history, American Studio. For WKNO, I'm Rob Grayson.